Hey y'all, I'm Jessie.
And I'm Carissa.
And we want to welcome you to the conversation that began over coffee 2 years ago.
We found ourselves laughing, crying, and challenged. Soon we realized this was a sacred space.
And we wanted to invite you to grab a cup of coffee and join us at the table.
Welcome to
Beautiful Exchange. Woo!
All right. Should I do an intro?
Yeah.
Okay. What's up, guys? We are here again, coming back to you with our podcast for women and men, if you want to, but we're definitely for women.
It'd be weird with men.
Yeah. So, I was just telling Jessie a story and we decided we should record it. So that's what we're going to do right now. Okay. So my daughter is 12 years old and she's tiny. She looks like she's 10. And she's got blonde hair, blue eyes, and white skin. I am half Puerto Rican, and I have, you know, dark hair. I have light eyes, but my skin gets pretty dark. So I look...
I would like everyone to know that her definition of dark was actually high yellow. She is not dark.
I identify as brown, but I'm really not as brown as I identify. My sister makes fun of me because she says that my emojis are too dark. And I'm like, but I identify as brown.
She's brown.
Yeah. So I'm half Puerto Rican. I'm half Caucasian. And my daughter is a quarter Puerto Rican, three quarters Caucasian. But she looks 150% white. And her and I are talking the other night. And I was telling her how we're talking about Shakira because Jada and I love Hips Don't Lie. And we love, what's that one song she used to say? Even though my breasts are small and humble. That one. That Shakira song.
That's some good lyrics right
there. Yeah. She says, so you don't confuse them with mountains. This is deep poetry, people. Do not hate on Shakira. So Jade and I are Shakira fans, kind of. But as, you know, this is a whole nother conversation as a Christian Latina woman and what the examples are out there. But so we're talking about Shakira and we're talking about belly dancing. And I told her that when I was a teenager, I went through this phase where I was obsessed with learning to belly dance and that I would stand in front of the mirror and I was like trying to pop my hips and I would sit there and try to like get my hips to move independently from my body. And I think I watched, in my 20s, I watched a YouTube video about how to do it, and I was figuring it out. So as I'm telling her this, her and I stand up, and we're looking in this big mirror I have behind my couch in the living room, and I have my shirt pulled up to my ribs, and she's got her shirt pulled up to her ribs. And if you can picture this, I'm a 42-year-old mom, so, you know, I'm not walking around bare midriff in life. And she's a 12-year-old girl that looks like she's 10. And we're standing in the mirror and I'm showing her how to pop. I'm saying you got to bend your knees and you got to lift your hip independently and drop it. Because I'm like a belly dancer. And I'm telling her, you got to kind of move your hips in a figure eight. We're having this whole, and we're like focused. And all of a sudden my daughter says, white moms be like, honey, do good in school. Puerto Rican moms be like, and we both just died laughing.
Gotta learn how to pop them hips.
We just started laughing and laughing and laughing. And then I felt kind of ashamed. I felt like, am I a bad mom that I'm in the mirror showing my daughter how to pop her hips? And she was like, no, mom, I love that about you. None of my friends can relate to having a mom like you.
Oh, that is sweet.
And, you know, so.
Oh, because you're fun.
So let's talk about today. What it is to be a Christian woman.
Mm.
And are we allowed to do things like teach our daughters to pop their hips?
I'm for it.
Or love 90s hip hop.
I'm for it all.
Or Taylor Swift.
I love Tay Tay.
That is Jessie's personal
Taylor, guilty, if you're listening.
Guilty pleasure.
I love you. One day I will see you in concert.
So I don't know what we'll call this podcast. We'll call it White Moms Be Like.
Yeah. FYI, my mom is super white.
How about Christian? Oh. Christian moms be like.
Yes, Christian moms
be like.
That's
the title of this podcast.
My mom is so white. It's not even
write
funny.
That down. Christian moms be like. But so we want to free you up to be a Christ follower and be exactly who He created you to be.
Yes, because holiness is an inside job. It's not about behavior modification.
No, it is not, but it can be easily. Parenting can become about behavior modification.
I'm learning that.
Ooh, girl. I have teenagers, so I'm in the middle of that.
Yeah, and I have like, a two-year-old. Actually, she
same thing, yes, pretty much.
Actually, she's about to be three in July. She's a three-nager. But she's a three-nager because she hits all her emotional milestones extremely early. Mm-hmm. And so recently there's been a lot of, I don't like you. I don't want to talk to you ever again. And I'm going to my room. I'm like, oh. She's never even heard these things.
Like, where are you learning this?
Peppa Pig.
In her sinful little heart, that's where.
Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig. That's where she gets most of it, Peppa.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have a 15-year-old, almost 16-year-old boy. He is exciting.
He's exciting.
And he is, I used to pray before I had children that my children would never be popular or cool. I did because.
Who even thinks about that?
Because I was kind of, I was never like the most popular girl, but I was naturally was kind of, you know, people have been drawn to me. I was popular-ish, I guess. It was one extreme or the other. I either repelled people or they thought it was really cool. And it caused me a lot of pain. And so I just, for my kids, I was like, I don't want my kids to be popular. Please don't make my kids cool. And then I give birth to this little boy. And from the moment he opened his eyes, all the world has been drawn to him. And it has been really challenging. And he's very different. He's kind of the same as like me in that way. Like, he repels people or they just
adore him
and idolize him. And he happens to be a really talented skater and he would like to become a professional skater. We will see what happens. But he is at that age where he wants to embrace all host of ungodly things.
Which are?
Well, he wishes he was born in the same era as me. He says that 90s was the best era to be his age. And he wears all the same clothes that guys were wearing when I was coming up.
Why does he think that?
He just loves it. He's obsessed with the 90s. Because he says it's pre-digital era.
Okay.
But there was some digital stuff. He says everything was just more pure. Like,
you can make a mixtape.
It's when skating, mainstream skating really
took off.
It's when a lot of the music, the good music, was born. And so he's constantly like, nothing's original anymore. You know, he's definitely like a purist. Like, he's like, you know, like fight the power kind of guy. Yes. But he also, at the same time as a teenager, he wants to conform. He wants to
be liked. He wants to.
Yeah. He wants to attach music to his skating edits that is not
just
godly at all. He has really good taste in music when he puts his music, but when he's trying to conform to the skate scene, it's really not good. But then again, sometimes like he put on a Dr. Dre song on one of his edits the other day, and the edit was so sweet. It was so good. Yeah. And I love that song. But Dr. Dre ain't singing about anything good.
Dr. Dre never sang.
I was like, this is a sick edit. Ooh.
Yeah.
But so how do we walk that line as.
And what's important.
Of what's important. Because we're dealing with, we're after the heart.
Yes. Because the thing that as Christians, that we struggle with, we go straight for that. Like, oh, this language, that language, this looks bad.
Yes.
The outside
of the cup.
Yes. First, where is that in the Bible? Where is that? You know, that Jesus was like, let's attack what you're doing, what you're projecting.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it always the heart? And
yeah.
How do we do that?
Cite a single scripture where Jesus walked up to somebody and said, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
Did he?
Never.
That's
or a bunch of fishermen. I mean, we live in a community. We're fishermen. We live at the beach, the Outer Banks of North Carolina. So it's surfing, it's fishing, it's tourism. That's our livelihood is water and anything that comes to that. And if you're a fisherman in the Bible, you weren't known for strong integrity and, you know, being someone that had great speech or looked a certain way and were well known in the community. And we, you know, being around fishermen in boat life, sometimes, you know, we have a great understanding of how that looks right here.
Yeah.
Is boat life. And Jesus never walked in and was like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you saying those words? Why? Never. Yeah. So it's interesting to me how that's what we go after.
It is. I mean, it's Pharisaic. Very. Not to throw like a big word.
No,
there,
it is. It's a fair, you know, makes you look like a Pharisee.
It's just, it's counting the wrong things as righteous, as holiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, and as a parent, I have that pressure because everyone knows I'm a believer.
Yeah.
That knows me. Everyone knows that I have a heart for ministry. I've been a worship leader since I was 12. I've been a vocational worship leader most of my adult life.
What's that mean?
As a job. Yeah. And I have this, I could get caught up. I have this reputation as a believer, and I've already had people come to me and be like, did you see what Ezra put on his Instagram? You know, I myself have wanted to control his choices more. And it's a slippery slope because the more I try to control his outward stuff, the more he begins to
rebel,
put a wall around his heart.
Yeah. So, because that's what we do. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm with praying or spending time with the Lord, which can be in anything, he never does that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. He never comes in and is like,
starts picking you apart.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like maintaining that connection. Like Danny Silk talks about, that's an author that wrote a book about parenting called Loving Your Kids on Purpose.
Yeah. And what we're talking about is actual, going to take actual work, because it's easier to practice behavior modification. It's easier to control.
And it kind of soothes your ego.
It does.
Because if I said to Ezra, you know, hey, line up to, you know, these certain things outwardly. Like, for example, you know, I've always decided pretty young, I was never going to make an issue out of my kids' clothes, mm-hmm. as long as they were modest, their hair, or things like if they wanted their ear pierced or, you know, there's certain things we just don't care about because it has nothing to do with what's in their heart. And so my kid has shaggy hair. He has an earring. He dresses straight out of like 1996.
Love it.
Oh, he's so cute. I just don't worry about those kinds of things. The more recent battle we had with him is, there's a company out there. It's a skateboard company called FA, and F stands for the F word, effing awesome. And it's a skateboard company, and effing awesome is referring to like, yes, that's awesome. It's not referring to sex. It's not referring to, you know, cursing somebody. You know, it's not a negative connotation for the word, other than the word itself has a negative connotation.
Exactly.
So my 15-year-old is at the age where we make him buy a lot of his own stuff, and he gets a new skateboard, comes in the mail. And the skateboard is an FA skateboard. And I'm immediately like, you know, I always inspect like what's the imagery on this board, because there's a lot of whacked out companies and imagery out there. And I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden I start realizing that embossed on the entire bottom of the skateboard, like it's like imprinted in the wood, is the word effing awesome across the whole thing. And I'm like, Ezra, like, dude, what are you doing? No, you know? And so we get into this conversation with him about it, and he's pleading the case of it's not a negative connotation.
Oof.
in my generation, no one would think about, see this statement and think it's talking about sex or cursing anybody. It just means like, that's awesome. Mm. He's like, this company makes the best skateboards on the market, you know, and he's telling me all this stuff. And I'm always advocating that he become a Christian that can match the quality of the secular. So I'm always like, well, then you need to create a skateboard company with the best quality of everything.
Yeah.
You need to do it, you know? So we're always, you know, pushing him and challenging him in that way. But so we're arguing with them. It's got getting to the point where we're either going to take the skateboard and throw it in the bonfire or something, you know, and we send him to his room. 'Cause we're like, let's not, this is turning non-productive.
It's getting very emotional.
It's getting emotional when dad starts to go, I will not stand for this. And so he goes to his room and Noah and I, my husband's name is Noah, we pray. And we just felt like the Holy Spirit was like, you need to let him make this choice and you need to let him eat the consequences. And I know right away, as soon as I hear this from God, my Christian friends, or even not Christian friends, any Christian that knows who we are, is going to see this and judge me.
Hmm. And therein lies the deeper
reason. In lies the temptation to force my child to conform.
Because of what other people.
For self-preservation.
Ooh, and self-preservation.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a huge thing.
It is a huge
thing. I personally don't care if Ezra skates around with it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because...
I mean, I care because there's little, I mean, we had a whole conversation about mentorship.
Well, right.
There's younger kids.
But personally, if someone that view was to view that, I'm like, that's not my business.
You're not a person that's going to judge me as a bad mom for that.
No.
But there's a lot that will.
But I think a lot of people judge because they forget their life.
They forget what it was like to be 15.
Or for some reason we do this thing where just as moms, forget Christians, just as moms. Well, you know, you see the kid in the grocery store and he's having a full on temper tantrum and you're like, my kid will never do that.
Mm-hmm. And then your kid's doing it.
Kid yeah. does it, but there's always an excuse.
Oh yeah.
There's always an excuse for when my kid does it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing over and over and over. Well, it's okay when my kid does it because you don't understand, but she's a bad mom and her kid's clearly not a Christian.
Mom shaming.
Right? Oh, so that's the bigger issue.
It is an issue and so in our culture.
It's something we just tack onto it. And I don't even think most of it has to do with being a Christian or not. Because if you asked yourself for 5 seconds, Lord, what do you think about this? If we just asked that question, I think a lot of us would just move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are bigger things to worry about.
Yeah.
Like embracing moms. Helping moms, helping hold our kids accountable in their hearts, not what we see or project, you know? And mom shaming is massive.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. We're not talking about enabling bad behavior.
Absolutely not.
I'm not talking about taking away consequences for bad choices.
Exactly.
I'm talking about letting him make some mistakes and eating the consequences. Some of the consequences we discussed was he has 3 younger boys that are all like 11 and 12, 10, 10, 11, 12, that he adores. My son is a natural mentor. He adores these boys. He advocates for them. He teaches them skating. He just loves these kids. And I told him, you're going to ride this board and one of the mothers is going to catch wind of it. And she may decide that you're not someone she wants her kid hanging out with. And she may decide that you can't be with them anymore. You need to weigh that out.
Yeah.
Is this board worth that cost to you?
Yeah.
And thank goodness we have other voices that speak into our children's lives. Right. So I just want to be clear. I'm not talking about advocating for your child to, you know, be doing something harmful to himself and taking away consequences or...
Yeah, we're talking about a skateboard.
Yeah, we're talking about heart issues versus inside of the cup
inside
versus
of the cup, outside of the cup
issues.
In the relationship to the skateboard, not Yeah.
Not this isn't a blanket statement for everything he does or should engage in.
And taking things, we should, as parents and women and wives or whatever, take things case by case.
Yes, you have to.
So, because there's always a different, there's certain things that are blanketed.
Yeah.
That we know to be right and wrong. Yeah. And everything else is not.
Yeah.
It depends on the instance and the case and what is, the season you're in and your convictions. And yeah, so it's not as cut and dry.
Yeah.
And Ezra needs, her son needs that freedom.
His personality, he has to have it, you know.
Leaders require freedom.
Yeah.
And you want them to have it, especially at 15. So he understands reaping and sowing and what life looks like when you make certain decisions. And we have such a huge fear of man issue in our Christian culture that we won't move, at all. I've heard so many women, because we're in quarantine life, rising up out of this season of rest and rising up out of this season and really getting that heart issue dealt with, the fear of man.
Yeah.
Really coming out in boldness and saying, I'm going to do this because I have to please God, not man. And that is usually exactly opposite when we actually talk to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Usually pleasing him is exactly opposite than what everyone else thinks.
Yeah. And so how do you know what the Lord is saying? You know, like, we want to challenge you, right?
Yeah.
When someone comes to me and says,
I so need my hands.
No, it's hard.
I'm like, I'm such a hands talker that I'm like, I feel.
If you guys could see Jessie, every time she talks, she starts moving around in her chair.
It's like burning calories. Like,
she wants to slam the table a lot.
Every time.
And I have to signal her, like, don't hit the table.
Hit the table.
I'm like, well, we'll have to put like a little cushion in front of
something,
you. Or something,
because I'm like such a, like, hand, like, I talk so much with my hands. I'm expressing. Yeah.
What were we saying?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm like squirrel.
Fear of man, boldness.
Oh, when someone comes to you and mom shames you, we've all experienced it, right? When someone comes to you and says, "Why are you doing blank?" or "Why did you let your child do blank?"
Now I'm getting cold.
I have even thought it about people where I have been like, why is so-and-so doing that? Now I have this pressure on me with my kid. We all do it. But for me, it has been so critical to know what God has said to me about my child or about the decision I've made, so that when someone comes to me and questions, I know exactly why.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know, you will be sent into a shame spiral.
Oh yeah.
A fear spiral.
Yeah. Let's talk about moms and that.
Oh my gosh.
Because mom shaming, mom guilt is
so
it's something
real.
Every mom feels in some capacity or another.
I have lost more sleep in my life to mom guilt.
Seriously.
Than anything else.
The second they get here, it's like, you're guilty. You don't even know what you don't even know why you're guilty, but you're guilty.
You're blowing it.
You're just,
I know it.
Yes. I know that if I don't watch this baby the whole time she sleeps,
she's going to die.
She might die.
Yeah.
Like, these are real thoughts. Or, even her being away, like, for me, like, Shiloh is my little girl and she's about to be 3. And she's away from me right now so we can do this. And I'm like,
there's a little voice in the back of your mind.
Is she okay? Like, what?
Yeah.
It's hard. And what people don't tell you is what you'll feel guilty about.
Yeah.
I don't care about if she has the latest clothes on. I don't care if she has this huge birthday party. I don't care if there's 55 pictures of her on a social media platform. Those things I don't struggle with. But I struggle with this. Like, this. Like, where is she? What is she doing? Is she safe? Like, Jessie, are you sure you did all A, B, C, D? So she's going to have, everything. Oh,
and you're so funny because you're like, she's like, you guys, she's like the cutest. smartest, like, almost 3-year-old ever. And Jessie is so funny with her because she'll have to, like, discipline sometimes, right? And after discipline, she's always like, I don't know. Did I hear her little heart out? Like, I just hope I didn't make her feel like I wasn't seeing her.
I very much want Shiloh to know she's loved.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes. And me being, I'm 10 years older than Jesse, and I have children that are 10 years older than Shiloh. And so me at my phase, it's hilarious and precious to watch because I just am like, oh my gosh, like she's the best mom that's ever lived, way better than I was. And she's feeling guilty. There is no escape. There's no escape. Mom guilt.
Nope. There's no escape. It's like, did I yell? You know?
I've never spoken to her in that tone.
Yeah. Like, I had this whole,
I'm like, oh,
in the middle of the night, Shiloh kept yelling. Yeah. And I got angry. I just woke up angry and was like, Shiloh, that's enough. And immediately knew, whoa, I don't ever yell at her. You know, I grew up in a household that yelling was normal. So it's not something I like to do a lot of. And I don't like to make people feel ashamed or insecure and things that I felt in some ways. And in other ways, my family was very affirming and wanted me desperately just to be like, you're okay to be whoever you are, whatever you are, whenever you are at the same time. So it's kind of conflicting, but it works if you knew my family. but anyway, the yelling and having not being nice with your words is just a common thing with my family, and I don't want her to have any part of that. So
that's a core value for you as a mom in your house. Like, yes. As for me in my house, we aren't gonna yell at each other.
My husband is a very soft-spoken, gentle guy, and he's from Africa, and he's white African, and their culture. To make it relatable, they don't love when I say this, but to make it relatable for most listeners, it's very the easiest way to compare it. It's very British. So that's very together, very
posh.
Posh is a good word. So they're very soft spoken in general. And that works great for me because just for instance, there was a guy yelling at his daughter on the TV, like funny. And my little girl was like, oh. Starts yelling at the TV, don't yell at her because she's daddy's don't yell. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because her daddy doesn't yell at her. So anyway, it was precious. But yeah, so that's a huge core value for us is no yelling. I want her to always, you know, in my brain, always, you know, and I use infinitives, you know, she has to always feel loved and always feel good and always feel cared for.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Always is not.
Is it okay when it's positive?
No, absolutely not.
It's still not okay.
So then I hear that, well, Jesse, you're a person. So my counter with that is when I do lose it, it usually isn't at her, but when I'm, I don't know, what's a good example of me? I don't know. I'm not a very, I'm pretty even tempered, so I don't really struggle with that kind of thing. But when people lose it or when I have a moment of usually, okay, if I'm upset and I cry or I'm emotional, because I'm a girl, I never apologize to her for it. I say, mommy gets upset and that's okay. Mommy has feelings too. You know, so I want to affirm that in her, not that she has to always be put together. Mm-hmm. Because I can come off as someone that can, I can come off as always put together. It's something I've been told many times. Well, you just don't get it because you're always, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm a person. Mm-hmm. I just don't struggle the same way in that area.
Yeah.
So instead, I am. Don't want her to feel.
I mean, I can pretend to be always put together with the best of them myself, especially if I don't know you. You might think that about me, but I'm definitely, my personality is more dramatic.
Yeah.
Louder,
I'm just
emotional.
More disciplined in person in general. Mm-hmm. That's just me. It's not a put on. I'm just, that's just the way that I am.
But what I was going to say is that I was raised that was unacceptable.
Oh, right.
So I definitely dealt with, I'll give you something to cry about was a common phrase in our house. Right.
And that actually was a phrase. And I think that was our
parents' generation
was, you know,
you want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about.
And I grew up in a very strong woman household that they thought they could do everything men could do. And they didn't need men, single moms, you know, very, and they were strong, hardest working people you will ever meet. But at this, it's my aunt, my grandmother, and my mom.
Hey guys, Carissa here. sorry to interrupt the conversation, but we just wanted to thank you so much for being here with us. I hope you're enjoying it. And if you are, there's more to come. We just need you to share this word of mouth and on your socials so more people can find out and join the conversation. Also, you can subscribe and review on your podcasting platform, and that will also help our show become easier to find for other people. Let's get back to the conversation. All right, so we've been talking about
get my hands back.
Christian moms be like, and we've been talking about how hard it is to follow the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
For the individual need of your child and the individual gifting of you as a mother. Mm-hmm. And the pressure in our society to conform to whatever the current parenting trend is or the current thoughts on those sorts of things. I'll share like my most go-to practical thing that I would say, if you said to me, tell me some advice, I would say, know your child. Mm-hmm. You have to spend time. You have to know them and listen to the nonsense, to the TikToks, to the Pokemon or
Go,
whatever they're into. Like, you have to know it and you have to listen to it. And you have to know your child's heart. And your child has to know that you know their heart. Mm. That is, I would say, probably my top piece of advice. Because if you do that, all the other things will kind of flow out of that place. So then it's easier to trust the Holy Spirit when he says, let Ezra choose to keep the FA board and eat the consequences. You're not going, but it has the F word. What will all the other Christian moms think? I'm going to look like a delinquent mom. Instead, mm-hmm. my response was, that's uncomfortable, but I know my kid and he has a very large need to feel powerful in his own life. And if I take his power from him, mm-hmm. he tends to actually fight harder and rebel more. Yeah. Whereas if I give him the choice and say to him, I'm okay with you reaping these consequences of whatever you choose in this circumstance, then he knows he owns that decision. Now, mine's a 15-year-old, not a 5-year-old. At 5, it's very different. Obviously, we're talking different levels, right? Different levels,
which
different devils.
Which is good, because you and I are totally different ends of that spectrum.
Yeah, totally. And so that was something that, you know, that
it's very practical for
has served me well. I wish that I had that revelation when my babies were Shiloh's age, when mm-hmm. I had 2-year-olds, because when my babies were 2, I was absolutely trying to control them. Mm-hmm. I was reading books like Dare to Discipline mm-hmm. and Strong Willed Child that said things like, if you have to sit on your kid to win the battle, then that's what you do. And I, nothing against Dr. Dobson.
No, he was revolutionary for his day. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. But what I didn't understand yet, that my Ezra, my sitting on him or trying to control him and say, you know, my monster truck's bigger than your monster truck, stand down, only actually
provoked
the unhealthy sides of his personality instead of provoking the beautiful sides of his personality. And so we trained him to fight us really young, you know, because we just weren't on that page yet. We were younger in the Lord. It was a different era. He was born in 2004, which it's crazy how much has changed.
Jeez, I know.
In the world, in church.
I graduated in 2005.
Oh, I'm so old.
No, that's so long. I'm like, geez, that was so long ago.
Yeah. I'm so old. But so it was just a different era. I think he was, 9 when I read Danny Silk's Loving Your Kids on Purpose.
And I totally get the book.
It revolutionized our parenting.
Yeah.
I wept through the whole book. I would like literally put the book down and get on my face and repent and cry because I realized that the parenting model that had been demonstrated for me was domination, conformity, control, behavior modification. And not only is it not in me to want to do those things anyway, like I'm such a feeler and a connector, I'm so relational, but also it had already proven itself ineffectual. My kid, literally, there was moments when he was 3, 4, I would weep and like fear and trembling and pray and say, God, he's stronger than me. You gave me the wrong child. I don't have it in me to subdue him. I cannot do this. What an answer to prayer and a relief the first time someone said to me, I haven't asked you to subdue him. I haven't asked you to break him. He's not a stallion. Like, when I realized I didn't have to conquer him, it just was such a game changer for me.
So
know your child and know your God.
There you go.
Yes, girl.
I think my life-changing parenting, one of them for me would be get present. Anytime, because I'm a deep I'm a deep thinker, and I'm a deep well. Like that's just the way that I'm programmed. And so what happens is you can get anxious when you're like that, because you will play over that scenario over and over, and you will analyze it, and you will get worked up over it. And how can I do this better? And I'm when I'm stressed or anything, I get stuck in perfectionism. I get have to do this the right way, because if I don't do it the right way, I'm going to miss it. Like that's just the way that I am. And Shiloh is the absolute greatest honor of my entire life. So that carries a lot of weight for me. And the Lord just will say to me, go get present with her, go get in the sandbox with her and build a sandcastle, go play with the dolls, go make your imaginary food, go ask her silly questions about whatever she's doing or wherever she's at. And that takes me from one headspace straight into all the fruit of the spirit. Like all of a sudden I'm laughing and I'm light and I'm kind and I'm gentle, and all this fruit is showing up from being present in the moment with my little girl.
And you're, that's the moment you're knowing her.
Exactly.
Those are the places where
I'm like, this is her, this is me. Child. And you can see the truth in that moment of she's fine. Like, hey, Jesse.
She's just fine.
Reel it in, you know, because I am. I'm very, very much programmed to just be there and make it right.
And to carry the weight.
Carry the weight. Because like I don't.
You're her savior.
And I don't just carry the weight of being her mom because of the way I was raised and brought up in a, my parents were not Christians and my mom was an alcoholic. My dad struggled with drug abuse and things like that as well. And so I take it very seriously that I'm the one that's standing in the gap for breaking generational curses. And so sometimes that stuff just gets so heavy when you don't even mean it. It just comes in and is like, you did this and now look what will happen.
Oh girl.
And what happens is either you're someone like me that is like, absolutely not on my watch. And I'm going to war. Or you're like, you become paralyzed, ineffective,
and do nothing.
And do nothing. So there's two things I've seen that work in. Neither is good. I forget who the savior is. The other, I don't want to speak on because it's not my, it's not for me to carry, but I've witnessed it. And the fruit that comes out of those people is also not good. But presence is a gift to me of look at this moment. Look around, look at God's creation, look just present.
Don't worry about when she's 12.
Right. Right. She's 3. Isn't that glorious? Jump on the bed, play hide and seek, you know? And that's been, I mean, there's a gazillion things, but that is the one that takes me from 100 back to 10 where I'm supposed to be every time.
Let's talk about that moment that we all have had where we're like, not on my watch. Because I can be
I think that's a daily thing for you and I. Like, we are like crazy. Like, we're just picturing us with our armor on and our helmets.
I am a warrior.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We have shirts that say that. Like, we're very proud to be warriors of God.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about this for just a minute.
It's a little bit draining for our husbands. Pray for our husbands.
Pray for our husbands. Let's just talk about this just for a quick minute, because you are getting to know us. Yeah. It's so funny. Let's talk about that. The other night, Jesse and I did a, where we both are a part of a women's group at our church that we do women's ministry. And we did a service the other night, and I had this shirt on that said, that I bought very intentionally because I'm like, not on my watch, that said, warrior, not worrier, across the chest.
It's a great shirt.
It is a great shirt. But it also is a great example of my personality to be like, not on my watch.
And we're laughing because we have so many of these conversations about things, and it's just...
And so we show up to prepare for this thing. Jesse's like planning the whole event. I'm leading worship at it. And so we're like kind of in leadership positions this particular night. It's not always this way, but this night it was. And, you know, I got my warrior, not warrior shirt on, and we get there and, you know, there's prayer happening. I'm doing sound check and, we're running through the worship set and all this stuff. And all like hell starts like breaking loose, like
literally
just ridiculous.
Literally 30 minutes before go, it was just
ridiculous. Just it was warfare.
Hour before go.
It was warfare.
Straight up warfare.
I mean, I'm having trouble with my sound, which is wigging me out, and I'm having trouble being present in what I'm doing because the sound is weird in my ear.
Yeah.
And our speaker went to go get her baby from the car. And a snake comes out from under the car, almost bites her.
And stays.
And then a bird comes out of the sky to try to grab the snake. She's like, snatches her baby.
This is a real story.
This is true.
Not made up. It actually happened Friday night.
Like, this is not made up.
This is not a movie.
She snatches her baby and runs away from the snake, and the bird comes down. And she shuts the car door and realizes that the car is still running and the doors are locked.
Thank God the baby was out.
Thank God she had the baby. It was like a prophetic event happened outside of her car. Like, yeah. And she's supposed to get up on stage and speak in a few minutes. And, you know, so all had broken loose. The other girl I was leading worship with was pregnant. She was super nauseous all of a sudden. She couldn't reel it in.
She couldn't reel it in.
She started giving me songs like, I need you to lead this. I can't do it. I'm going to throw up. I'm so sorry. So she's having like a shame spiral because she's sick. And then I'm having like a wig out because I can't hear right. And everything was crazy.
And then I had all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the severe cramps, like not to be like, like severe cramping out of nowhere. Yeah. I was fine.
I had a headache.
Doubled over like wanting to cramp. And past events were, so we do an event every other month, but we haven't done it every other month. We've now are down to what, 4 a year?
Yeah, quarterly now.
Quarterly, yeah. So the one before that, I had the flu. I'd never had the flu in my life. And the one before that, I had mono. Never have had mono. And so this
maybe
time—
Maybe you had the corona, the one—
Maybe.
I don't know.
They tested me, though.
Oh,
I had
okay.
the flu. dun, dun, dun. But yeah, and so now all of a sudden more sickness. And I'm like, are you kidding me? No. Yeah. So it was nuts.
Yes. So, you know, we consider ourselves warriors, and then we get in this situation and all this stuff is going like cattywampus. That's a Southern saying. If you're not Southern, I apologize. and you have this moment where you have to make a choice.
Yes, that's exactly what
I really not a worrier?
Yeah.
Because maybe I am a worrier.
Maybe.
Because I was worrying about the sound.
Were you?
Am I going to be able to be present and actually worshiping the Lord if the sound is all whacked out? Mm. you know, like, how is Kristen supposed to have her head clear and get up on stage and deliver a message with everything that just is going on? And they were having to try to like drive someplace to get another key fob and, you know, all this stuff. And so, you know, we just had to like make that decision in that moment to get present and press in and trust that God was getting ready to do something.
And he did. And it was glorious.
Yes. And in my experience, when you can push past some of that stuff, it usually, once the release of actual like ministry begins, like that first note of the worship service, or when that
we prayed
that,
yeah,
you know, thing happens,
yeah,
the enemy flees. It's yeah, like, it's like he's tormenting. He's trying to get you off your game. And that definitely is true for your children. You know, like, oh, he's trying to get you off your game and get you distracted so that you miss the fact that God is going to do something miraculous in your children,
yeah, or
family, in your family, or in your husband, in your whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because it's about, God's about to cut loose, and it's so easy to miss it, to be distracted by the fear, the worry, the present argument, or the present bad behavior, and it's trying to keep that long view of knowing and trusting, my God is at work. My God loves this person more than I do. My God is capable to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. My God is strong in my weakness. And to not get caught up in circumstances, but remember the long view and just, you know, be present.
Yeah.
Know your child, know your God,
yeah,
and be a warrior, but know that it's not all up to you.
Yeah.
God
wars. And warriors look different in different seasons.
Yeah.
I've found my most profound seasons of war are when I'm on my knees and he's fighting my battle. And
those are the most humbling.
Yes.
Because you know.
And I mean physically on my knees.
That you don't have the strength to fight.
Exactly. And he talks about that vividly, you know, in his word when he says that in our weakness, he's made strong. That has nothing to do with our strength.
Yeah.
And we can't find his or allow him to be our strength until we're weak and we admit that we're weak. And then he shows up and he shows out. And yeah, so those, for me as a warrior and coming from a strong line of women, and you will hear me roar and I can take this. God has done nothing but show me that the strongest warriors are the ones on their knees and the ones that are humble and the ones that let him fight when he needs to fight,
1,000%.
And learns how to temper that urge to run in when it's not your time.
Yeah,
to
do
in
something physically,
yeah,
when really you
when
just
it's
need
not
to pray.
When you need to stand, yeah, and you need to hear, or you need to praise, or you need to breathe, or let someone else do something and take the reins and be okay with it because he's still God.
Yeah,
he's still on the throne.
That's so good, and I 1,000% concur. Like nothing. No breakthrough has come in my marriage, in my children, in my family. Like nothing in my life has come without prayer. And not, I won't only say without prayer. Nothing in my life has come without the battle first being won in prayer.
Amen.
I mean, it's like not just like, oh, you know, God, please intercede in this situation.
No.
Help me out. You know, my kid's being difficult or my husband's not hearing me or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's literally like me on my face saying, I can't change them. Please help me.
Yeah.
Help them. What do I do?
Yeah.
Just going before the Lord and faithfully
being an advocate.
Being an advocate,
yeah,
and
willing to hear what he says about it.
Yes.
Usually it has nothing to do with what I actually think.
Especially when it opposes what you actually want to do.
Want. Yeah. Yeah. I want this desperately. No.
Yeah.
It's this and it's better. It may not look or feel better, but
yeah,
it's the good stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a better word for it. It's the good stuff. But yeah.
You know, so to close this out, I want to go back to the story I told at the beginning of Jada, my daughter.
Your hips don't lie.
And my hips don't lie.
Maybe we should call it that.
I know.
Oh,
but,
my hips
but, you
don't
know,
lie.
Nothing, no. Nothing will expose your sin or your stuff like your children, right? Nothing will. And I don't think what Jade and I were doing in that moment was sinful. That's not what I'm saying. But made me take stock because she's becoming a young woman. Mm. She's 12. She turns 13 Friday. And she is so precious. She looks like she's 11. She's so cute. But she's like such a gift to me. But nothing will make you take stock like an observation that your child makes that you maybe not noticed about yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm a proud, you know, Latina woman, but my Latina womanness should never supersede my Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
And so it did make me go, oh my God, is this okay?
And I think too, of being at what you're saying, like, and being a mom or being a Christian or anything, is when you stop and you actually question those belief systems.
Yeah.
And you say, why do I believe that? Where does that come from? Is this from the Lord?
Yeah.
Is this right?
Does Jada need to know how to pop her hips?
Yeah, does she? Or does it matter?
Or does it matter? Is it okay that we were just having fun and
I think absolutely.
Being silly?
Exactly.
But we've had to have lots of conversations about
J-Lo
and Shakira, especially post-Super Bowl. You know, that's a whole nother episode we could talk about.
Yeah.
You know, just like, your children will expose your good beliefs and your bad. Don't be afraid of it. You know, like,
but
lean into that place.
Lean into it and ask God, because He just undoes some things when you least expect it.
Oh my gosh. Ask your kids what they think about it.
Oh, there you go. That's even better, because then you'll get the truth.
And you'll get the truth of what you've been teaching them sometimes too. Like you think you're teaching them one thing and all of a sudden they say back to you what they've been hearing and observing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh dear Jesus, forgive me.
Yeah.
You know, there's things I've had to go to my children and just straight up, no excuses, repent.
But that's also extremely important, is to be able to say, I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
I make mistakes and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That has just transformed what, even as an adult child, my husband, and he has a fantastic family, but his parents are not afraid to apologize to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kept us so close, because they are never too big to say, hey, we missed that.
They're safe.
Yeah, they're safe. And even if they don't see that they've missed it and we bring it to them, they will apologize to us.
Mm, that's good.
And so, you know what I mean? Keeping that open leaves room for freedom and safety and continues on, you know, as they get older. But
oh gosh, this has been such a good conversation, and we could go on, and we will, but
don't you worry.
On another episode.
Maybe we should continue. This
Women one. Be like, we're not sure what this is going to be called
yet. We have no idea what we are yet.
By the time you hear this, we will have a name for this podcast.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Or maybe not. But so we just want to encourage you guys, listeners, to ask the hard questions from your kids. Ask the hard questions in the moment with your God. Get present. Know your child. Know your God. Know your convictions.
And if you cannot be a crazy woman, ask the hard questions from your husband.
Oh.
But know that you can handle it. That's a whole nother episode.
That is
too.
A whole other episode.
Ooh, can I handle what my husband says about my character?
Yes, because husbands are so much better at keeping their mouth shut until they're asked.
That's right. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa. Okay, we won't go there. But
just join us on our talks and chase our rabbit holes with us and be encouraged, and we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we take ourselves very seriously.
We're happy to go first. I mean, that's just one of those things, like, I felt called to my whole life, is go first, be the one that's willing to take the scary step and go first. And we hope that it encourages you and makes you brave.
And we don't have any of this figured out.
To make whatever the leap it is that you're facing.
Just be, I guess we were in process on this.
Mm-hmm.
Be in process with us.
Yeah. All right, ladies. Well, we just want to bless you and challenge you to take the things that we shared today and go to the Word, find out what the Word says, talk to God, and do what He says, not what we say.
Yes, please.
We will have any books that we mention in the show notes, and we encourage you to pick those things up and continue to grow in the Lord always.
Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye.